Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Coming up on podcast 1373, your answers to question of the week, your listener emails, and our Patreon thanks list as well. Stick around. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Sunday 13th of Feb. My name is Martin Lee, and normally during the week I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. I'm here to save you time. At the weekends, we do your question of the week, also give you your Patreon shout-outs as well. And if you haven't tried the show yet on YouTube, I mean, it's basically the normal podcast, and we're putting it on YouTube. So the plan was to do a short version on YouTube, a bit like, briefly, the four-minute show that I do in this podcast as well. However, that hasn't quite worked out because, you know, I get waffly, if I'm honest with you. And I was doing three separate shows. I was doing the briefly audio version for those that don't have time for the full 25 minutes odd that we do every day. And then the YouTube show was kind of sitting somewhere in between, but it was its own bespoke show. So now the YouTube show is just the full version of the podcast. And people are saying, well, hey, you should do the YouTube version of Briefly, the four-minute version. Like, it's just me. I need to make friends or find somebody who can edit video. I've got some ideas, actually. People have been emailing me recently. So, yeah, I need some help. Right, let's talk about question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. I was asking you this week if you could do any job in the EV industry, what would it be? Thank you very much for all of your responses. Jim, who's one of our sponsors at National Car Charging, says if I could have any job in the EV industry, I would be Tom Malogny. Yes, Tom is a very famous EV reviewer, runs the State of Charge YouTube channel. Go check it out. It's brilliant. He's racking up tens of thousands of subscribers and views on his channel. And Tom is an expert in reviewing chargers. He's in New Jersey, and he will give you consumer advice on which are the best US wall boxes, not the company wall box, although, yes, it includes them, but also how do you charge your EV. And he does a lot of charge tests on cars as well. So he'll get the car makers to send him a car, and then he'll run it down to zero, plug it in, different temperatures and different tests as well on different types of charger. And so that's who Jim would be. Yeah, it's a pretty cool job to be Tom playing with all those great new cars. Carl Kramer says, I'd like to be the product placement guy for movies and TV. You know, should Bruce Wayne be driving a Cadillac Lyric in his civilian identity? Maybe Silverados used to capture Jurassic World dinosaurs, stuff like that. Yeah, that'd be a really cool job, actually, Carl. That would be an interesting one to be at a Hollywood studio or something. And you'd definitely cast an EV, wouldn't you, alongside your superstar actors, because that's where people are going to get more excited about. David Pollock says, I'd have your job, says David. No, you wouldn't. You really wouldn't, because all you do is spend all day, every day, reading various blogs and websites and then trying to filter out what would be a three-hour podcast into between 8 and 14 stories a day, every day. You're kind of never done, because I'm often starting one podcast before the previous one's finished, or if I know that there's going to be a product announcement or a car launch, I'd already be working on you know, the Thursday show and it's a Monday, so it kind of fries your brain a little bit, but I wouldn't be doing anything else. I love doing this for you guys. Robert Grace says, as to question of the week, the job that I want is test driving a Taycan on the racetrack. That would be amazing. I'd like just to be able to know how to drive the Taycan well, any sports car well, and extract the most performance out of a car like that. But it'd be very cool to get paid for the privilege. Matty Yukimo says, it's easy. I'd be a tester for Volvo and Luminar with their Ride Pilot program. The project has huge potential. I'm eagerly awaiting for the results from California, says Matty. Definitely more interesting and promising than Tesla's full self-driving and what they're doing. Yeah, I know what you mean. I think, you know, being those test drivers in the cars would be a real insight into, you know, the ones that are kind of autonomous cars. They're licensed, but with drivers in. And that'd be fascinating to see the development of that technology firsthand. It really would. Inga Davidson is next, saying, if I could do any job in the EV industry, I would fire the current CEO of Toyota and install myself in his position and steer the company towards BEVs as fast as possible, says Inga. My reason is that Toyota, due to their size, can make a huge impact on our motoring future and pollution. Also, I'd fire whoever came up with self-driving drivel. Maybe that's a better reason you be the judge. Yeah, no, I know what you mean, actually. I know that there is a bit of a joke around how I feel about Toyota and their desire not to electrify. Hey, it's their company. They can do what they want with it. But I wish that they would do it and do it well. And rather than just put out like one vehicle and then do lots, you know, press announcements recently full of 30 vehicles or whatever it was, and half of them you can see are just really bad CGI. Like, you haven't even taken the time to do a good Photoshop, and yet, man, I just wish that they would get all in on EVs, and it would move the planet to electrification much, much faster. Hi to Bill. Now, Bill Pollock says, it's easy. The job that I would do is field testing each vehicle for 1,000 kilometres in every possible condition. Taking every EV to the cold, the hot, the wet, the dry, on the road, off the road. Sounds a bit like Björn Newlund's YouTube channel, his YouTube career, I guess, that he's got now, making, I presume, a lot of money out of YouTube, because his videos are getting hundreds of thousands of views. Second choice, says Bill, road testing, time to drive 1,000 kilometres for every model that enters the market. Like rapid charging, not including overnight charging. A good metric when buying a new EV, he says, would be the time to drive stat of 1,000 kilometres. He says, but I would need a co-pilot. Are you in? Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great job driving every new EV on the market. Brilliant. Björn in Seattle says, I'd love to be a driver for final mile delivery in the US from rail yards to dealerships via car carrier. Looking at the future and the possibility of an EV semi, it would be amazing. And I totally agree. Yeah, any job that involves driving an EV would be brilliant. Nicholas says, it would be winter testing vehicles above the Arctic Circle. Now, I know what you mean. Any kind of extreme testing. Imagine you're a test driver for an automaker and they're like, right, for 3 months, we're going to send you somewhere extreme, very hot, very cold. And you've got to test this car till it breaks so we can learn about it. That'd be amazing. Nick Kristen says, thank you as always for the podcast. If I could do any job, I would work on charging software. Not sure if Nick is working in software at the minute or he's a coder or whatever, but if I had the knowledge, maybe you have, Nick, maybe that's your job. But yes, I would love to work in that side of things and understand how it all works as well. Every different charger, every bit of hardware will have its own software. All the cars have their own software as well. And making it all talk to each other is kind of the holy grail of the electric vehicle world right now, because unless you are Tesla, or so you'd make the cars, you make the chargers, and everything is vertically aligned. Or you're Neo, you make the cars, you make the battery swap stations, everything is nicely aligned, it just works. For so many others, you got somebody making the car, somebody making the charger, often somebody making the software or the billing or the interface that sits between all of those layers. Yeah, Making that be as seamless as possible would be a really rewarding job. Thank you so much for emailing in. Right, we've got a brand new question of the week to give you in just a moment. But first, some follow-ups. I had some really interesting follow-up emails this week coming in over the last 7 days, following up some of the news stories that I reported. And I think some of these emails have got such good value, I hate just to leave them in my inbox. And I read every email that comes in. I don't always have a chance to reply to every single email, but if you do contact me, I will read it, and hopefully, if I do a little email session once a day, you'll get a reply. Mike Wise wanted to follow up a story from earlier this week about Volkswagen. Now, earlier this week, I was talking about how Volkswagen dealers in Germany don't get enough of the ID models, particularly ID3, ID4. So, in order to, because of chip shortages, because of some supply constraints, VW are having to ration how many ID models the dealerships get. But according to how many petrol and diesel cars they sell is how many electric cars they're going to get. And I was saying, well, hang on, if I'm working through the logic, if you want to sell more electric vehicles, which are the more desirable ones, everybody wants an EV right now, they're supply constrained. If you want to sell the cars that people want to sell, you have to be you have to become a business that sells cars people don't want, because people don't want petrol, they don't want diesel. We see all those sales figures falling off a cliff all around Europe particularly, and yet VW saying we'll only give you ID cars to sell to your customers if you sell more petrol and diesel. Now Mike offered an alternative viewpoint. He says this: given that VW can't supply enough of these vehicles, they need to decide how to allocate the limited supply. Most companies that are facing supply shortages allocate in this way. For VW, you want to take care of your larger dealers that drive the greatest percentage of your sales. If not by the size of the dealership, as in the number of cars sold, how else would you allocate? An alternative could be giving every dealer the same amount, but that would likely create an even larger supply imbalance and advantage smaller dealers that would likely get more than their natural demand and economic windfall. And it's a good point, Mike, actually. Yeah, you're completely right. I did criticise the move. I wasn't so critical, but I was merely observing that if you want to sell more cars that people want, electric, you've got to sell more polluting cars. It seemed a little bit backwards to me, but Mike was saying, well, how else would you do it? And I didn't have a solution, so you're absolutely right. Let's offer solutions rather than just complaining about things. Right, on the way very soon, more of your listener follow-ups and a brand new question of the week. Stick around.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now, a listener follow-up from Adam Bruton, who was talking about the story that I gave you earlier this week on charging stations. Now, in the US, there's going to be a massive expansion of charging stations, $5 billion in total. But to begin with, just over $600 million is going to be dished out to the various states to build out charging networks. Adam says, while I love the idea of charging stations at interstate rest areas, that's a big thing keeping me from going EV. We do road trips within my region. There are a few DC fast chargers. A state-operated system would be awful, says Adam Bruton. I live in Alabama, and we can barely handle online vehicle registration renewals. All of the websites for government agencies are extremely outdated, and often even services that are related don't have websites integrated or talking to one another. I would much rather they outsource to a third-party service and lease them space while holding them to a strict service-level agreement regarding functionality and reliability. Well, thanks, Adam. It's something that I talked about earlier this week, if you didn't hear the show, talking about the charging networks, that all the individual US states are going to be given a pot of money and an amount. So California get $50 million or so in this first tranche. I think Kansas gets $4 million in this first tranche of money out of the $5 billion. The first $600 odd million, right? So, and I was saying, well, it wasn't clear what the states have to do with it. They have to get an answer back in August to the those at a federal level who will decide what projects get given the go ahead. But I was asking you if states could, in theory, run their own public charging networks. And clearly, Adam thinks it's a very bad idea. I don't know how that would work in the US. I mean, particularly, politics works differently in many places around the world. Obviously, here, we have a nationalized health service, and we have no option, but a small proportion of our paycheck is taken. But equally, we get free healthcare when we needed help with various things in our, you know, family life, you know, years ago with fertility stuff. It was all available on the National Health Service. And we definitely, certainly my wife and I, used more than we'd put in at the time, since we've put in quite a lot since then. But it's one of those things that, yes, it might work for a health service, and you can argue that amongst yourselves, whether it does work or not. Would it work for a nationalised charging network or even a state-run charging network? And maybe it is left up to people whose job it is to make money out of this. I always use the example when I'm talking about this. I'm such a huge, huge fan of a national health service and a well-funded state education system. My wife used to work in an office where, she's a nurse, by the way, and I remember her telling me a story one day about a lady who was 2 years away from retirement, and they were moving over to, I think, either moving to Outlook or moving to Gmail, but moving to a new email system. And this lady's like, I'm 2 years away from retirement. I'm not learning a new system. Why should I? And that always sticks in my mind, because in a private organization, it would be because you have no choice. You are learning this new email system because it's called having a job. Whereas in the NHS, it was a case of, okay, well, we'll write your email. And they had somebody who would write the emails for her. She wasn't massively senior, but she just didn't want to learn email. I know it might not be indicative of every possible experience, but yeah, sometimes private organisations can do things better, and sometimes publicly can do it better. So thank you very much. Steve Burkett from Plug and Play EV says, thanks for the coverage of federal funding. An interesting question around state-funded charging networks. Here in the northeast of the US, we already have Evolve NY. Evolve NY is a network building out across New York State, led by the New York Power Authority. Evolve New York, electric charging stations near me, electric car incentives are funded to the tune of $250 million between now and 2025. It does have some crossover to private charging providers like Electrify America and Greenlots. But the funding starts with public authority. While they got off to a slow start and has faced some challenges getting hardware in the ground, almost every corner of the state is now covered by the network, something that no other charging provider can claim. In particular, the popular Adirondack, is that how I say that? Adirondack region in the north of the state near Canada would be inaccessible to non-Tesla electric vehicles without Evolve NY. So Steve having a really interesting take on how public money can be used for things that are deemed in the public good. And thank you very much for all of your emails that get sent through to the podcast. hello@evnewsdaily.com is the address to send feedback, thoughts, observations, feedback about the stories that we cover. That's hello@evnewsdaily.com. Right, brand new question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. So here we go. Get yours in for Sunday's show. Tesla recently updated their Model Y standard range, and the 0 to 60 time dropped. Slowed, if you like. It got worse by 1.5 seconds. There was a time when many Tesla fans would simply dismiss any other electric vehicle because they weren't as quick as a Tesla. But when making a purchasing decision, how important do you personally rate performance? Now, I think EVs have that great big put your smile on your face factor when you put the throttle down and instant torque, etc., etc. But answer me this: when making a purchasing decision, how important do you personally rate performance of a car? Email me your answer. I'd love to know what's on your mind. hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, thanks so much to all of our Patreon partners. Our premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley, he runs the EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Hi to our partners David and Lisa Allen. Thank you so much as always for your support, David and Lisa. Bob Boothby runs Millbrook Cottages in the southwest of England. 5-star gold self-catering cottages. We've been there. We've stayed there. We had an amazing time, and I highly recommend it. Jukka Kukkonen from shift2electric.com with the number 2. Check out that website. Rajiv Narayan, often contributor to this show. Hi to Rajiv. Michael Lumley, thank you, Michael. And battery reports for EVs, get them at recurrentauto.com. Check it out if you haven't already, recurrentauto.com. And hi to all of our executive producers. Thank you so much. Adam Bruton, Adrian Bond, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andy Nancaro, and Lillian Gass. Asir Khalid, Bjorn Fuchsdijk, Bill Calhoun, Blaine McKinney, Blunderbuss Jones, Brian O'Leary, Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Chad Lane, Charles Hall, Christopher Bath, and Colin Hennessy, and Cam's EV. Craig Rogers, David Dysart, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, and DCEV, and Don McAllister at screencastsonline.com. Ed Cortine, Eddie Ragassa, Eric Hansen, Eru, Cunyi, Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, George Tortorolo, Granton Smith, Henrik Leisner, Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, Ian Sear, Jacob Kuhn, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Javier Carmelo Diaz Perez, hi to Jim Morris, John Schroeder, John Vandervoort, John, who is Beardy McBeardface at Ken TV's, John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Mason, also Kester Sandback, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, and Mark Richards. Hi to Marty Young, Matty Yukimo, Mike Winter, Mike Wise, Nathan Gore Brown, Nathaniel Friedman, and Neely Roberts from Sussex EVs. Ohad Aston, Paul Stevenson, Pete Brummy, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raj Badwell, Raymond Rowlich, Realtors Choice Photography, Rene Kumick, Rod from the RS Thinks EV channel on YouTube. Hi, Rob. Robbie NY, Robert Grace, Ron Fisher, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas Cook, Thomas J. Tias, Timothy Phillips, Todd Oakes, Tyler Voss, and the Plug Seekers' own EV YouTube channel. Have a good and see you tomorrow, and remember there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.